Happy New Year and welcome to All Things New, a series describing God's 2020 vision for renewal in our life, household, church, and nation this year at Empower Church.
The last chapter of the scriptures, Revelation 21, says this: "Now I saw a new heavens and a new earth, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.'" The household of God, the dwelling place of God, "and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" New year, new you, is not just a calendar reality, but a scriptural one as well. Our life-giving Father God has good things in mind for each of our lives this year. And so our January series is all about seeing with 2020 clarity of vision God's desire to make all things new. Over these first four Sundays of the year, we're learning together what the scriptures have to say about God's newness in our lives, and how we can best position ourselves to walk in alignment with his 2020 vision in our lives, spiritually, in our household, environmentally, in our church, collectively, and yes, even in Australia, nationally. When I say the words 17 Langer Avenue, 6 Frederick Street, or 8 Wilson Place, it probably doesn't trigger anything for anybody else this morning, but it certainly does trigger something for me because they're our former street address. And when I say those addresses and think a little bit about those households, I'm suddenly having flashbacks of our early years of marriage, of my boys as toddlers in nappies, four boys, nappies everywhere. I mean, just nappies up to our eyeballs. Playing with blocks, meals around the table, long hours of study into the night where Amber and I, early in our marriage, were both seeking to graduate from our degrees with a young family. Saying a street address suddenly fills my mind with memories of a very different season. I just want you for a moment to just think about one of your old street addresses and perhaps the memories that took place there. If somebody was to say 58 Karura Street, Dickey Beach, no, I'm not swearing, that's an actual place, or 8 Matthew Court, Hampton Park, or 5 Aramba Street, Kurramundi, again, an actual place, I'm suddenly transported back even further into Melbourne for my early childhood and primary school, and then southeast Queensland for high school and my first jobs as young adults. Just saying a street address triggers all of these memories from those households. What about you today? When you think about your previous address, perhaps in our mind's eye, we're transported to a different place, a different age. Shock, horror, maybe we're even imagining a place somewhere outside of the Shire. Goodness me. A different suburb, a different state, perhaps even a different country. And suddenly, through the power of recalling a street address, memories come flooding back. What life was like, how we were loved in that place, and what we learnt in those households. Is anybody visualizing anything this morning? We're getting some flashbacks, vivid memories, some good feelings and maybe some not so good feelings. Flashes, images, impressions on our soul, all because of a household. The point of this little exercise is not to get us stuck somewhere back in time for the rest of the sermon. So please, all things new, trek with me back to 2020. But my point in that is to show that where we live matters. and the kind of environment that we find ourselves in affects us profoundly. I'm sure that they were very real feelings and emotions that we were suddenly having as we were visualizing those different spaces. And as such, a 2020 vision series would not be complete without us considering God's desire to make all things new in our households this year. Can I ask you today, do you have a 2020 vision for your home? Because God most certainly does. Matthew 3:25, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. God's 2020 vision for your household is one of new oneness, new unity. Luke 10:5, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. God's 2020 vision for your household is one of powerful spiritual peace. And that's not just some nice little platitude. That same word, peace, is the word that Jesus spoke in the midst of the chaos of the storm. And he wants to teach us to speak into the atmosphere of our home, peace to this house. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord and you will be saved, you and your household. God's 2020 vision for our household is one of salvation for backslidden sons and daughters. Does that encourage anybody in this place today? Acts 20:20, talk about a 2020 vision. I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. God's 2020 vision for our household is that the teaching and instruction of the word would go beyond Sunday gatherings to permeating our midweek households as well. 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Stern words from the Apostle Paul communicating that God's 2020 vision for our household is that we would experience more love, more provision, and more care for one another as reflects our faith in Christ. Deuteronomy 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. God's 2020 vision for our household is a new devotion to the Lord as a family in our regular daily rhythms of mealtimes, mornings, evenings, and spending time together. Make no mistake about it, today God's desire is to do something new in our households this year. His heart is close to those who have lost homes in our nation through these horrendous bushfires. He looks with compassion and knows the depths of people's grief as they search through the ash and rubble of what was previously their home. God's desire is to walk closely with the distressed and displaced, to meet every need and to work even that horrific circumstance together for people's good. Because the Lord's heart is one of empathy, one of love, and one of compassion. We're fortunate to live in an area that's largely unaffected by this tragedy, and as such, we are positioned, Empower Church, to give prayer and finance towards others rebuilding this year. But the Lord's 2020 vision for households goes beyond bricks and mortar. God is even more concerned with the atmosphere, with the culture, with the spirit of our homes. Think again for a moment about those memories that we were having flashbacks of earlier connected with those former street addresses. I doubt very much that you were thinking about how much you loved your old ensuite or how amazing that back porch was. Instead, I'm guessing that we were thinking instead about the atmosphere, about the laughter, about the connection, about the people, about the spirit of that home. Nobody hugs a house, but instead what we are all greatly impacted by, either positively or negatively, is what happens in a house. The tears shed, the prayers prayed, the joys shared, the memories made within those spaces. And that's primarily what I want to talk about us intentionally building this year, the spirit of our home. I trust we're all in agreement this morning and have experienced that places have a presence, that areas have an atmosphere. They are not neutral. There's certain suburbs that you can drive through and immediately we can discern either openness or oppression in that space. I'm not just talking about climate, I'm talking about spiritual climate. There's a reason that there are certain places that we go into and suddenly we feel fatigued, overwhelmed, cranky, or sick. There's something in the air. It's a spiritual atmosphere. It's polluted by something oppressive. I'm not being superstitious this morning. I'm being scriptural. Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I love the Passion Translation reading of this. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Ho-ho, the Passion Translation is just extraordinary. Jesus modeled in his life and ministry what it is to have our eyes open to the spiritual reality that surrounds us. He stepped into cities and he took authority over the environments and he enforced the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the righteous rule and reign of God. That's why wherever he went, he drove out demons. He healed the sick. He preached the good news and he taught his disciples to do the same thing. He was arresting atmospheres. He was changing environments wherever it was that he went. He was a catalyst of the kingdom. And I know that that might sound like some pretty advanced or even intimidating stuff, but that kind of authority and influence is what Jesus promised to everyone who would believe in him and follow after him. And can I suggest that the best place for us to start wielding that sort of powerful prayer is within our own household. Because if we can't fix the spiritual atmosphere of our bedroom and our basement, we're probably going to struggle with bringing transformation to a city. But starting prayerfully and purposefully at home, we can see God's kingdom come and transformation in that spiritual environment of our household. We can see a victory, which then builds our faith to be able to take it beyond our home and into our land. I want to bring some encouragement to people in this place this morning. If you are sick of being sick, if you are tired of being tired and yet being unable to fall asleep no matter how exhausted you feel, if you want to move the needle on the spiritual condition of your home and reclaim rest and peace and a sense of joy in your household, you can in Jesus' name. We don't have to be a victim to sabotaging spirits that are messing up the atmosphere of our homes, sapping the joy out of our marriage, stirring up contention and strife amongst our kids. We have the authority to be able to war and win the battle for our home and see God's all things new 2020 vision come to pass in our households. But as Pastor Amber has already profoundly said this morning, that kind of order doesn't happen accidentally. It takes intentionality and power. We must be aware. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. The question for us this year is, will we let hell come in like a flood to rob us of our peace and joy and muddy up the atmosphere of our homes? Or will we instead fight for King Jesus' righteousness, his joy, his peace in the Holy Spirit to be established over the atmosphere of our family environment? We can, but it's going to take a fight. It's going to take us warring and winning. It's important that we decide in advance what we want this year, because scripturally, your household, your atmosphere, your choice. Joshua 24, 15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, again, powerful class of demon gods, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Will we serve King Jesus as Lord in our household this year? Will we make his Holy Spirit our most honored guest and the most cherished resident of our household? Will we pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done in our house just as it is in heaven? Will we surrender to what he says about our home? This is the challenge for us today. This is the encouragement for us today to step into the all things new for our household. We sang last week, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. And that's true. But the question this week is, in the Christian's house, is there a place for him? Are we going to make room for God in our home? I'm not talking about building an altar, okay? Relax. I'm not talking about becoming a rigid legalist where suddenly everything's out. God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's a good God, and he doesn't want us freaked out and in fear about our choices. So I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being superstitious. But what I am saying is, will we lean into our relationship with the Holy Spirit, that honored, invisible guest in our home, and honor his words and honor his lordship? If he was to challenge us about something that we need to change about our home, will we make room for him and his presence? Atmospheres matter. Environments matter. In fact, I'm convinced that the spirit of a house matters way more than the size of a house or the style of a house. There's plenty of misery in mansions out there. It's not about the style and size. It's about the spirit. I'd rather have the Holy Ghost in a cave than misery in a mansion. But this kind of good atmosphere, Holy Spirit atmosphere that I'm describing this morning doesn't happen accidentally. It happens purposefully and prayerfully. It takes certain important ingredients to cultivate that kind of spiritual ecosystem where his blessing can flourish and thrive. Think for a moment about a different couple of houses, the difference between a doghouse and a greenhouse. They're both shelters, but they both have very different atmospheres. In the one, you throw a blanket and a bone, job done. That's it. But in the other, you artificially create the atmosphere. We meticulously and intentionally work to get the humidity and the mist and the temperature and the fertilizer and the sunlight all right. We work to make sure that there is protection in the structure against wild animals, not to mention the time and care invested in weeding and working that environment. And what's the result of those two different approaches to atmosphere? Well, in the doghouse, You get a shelter that smells like its occupant, plus a bit of slobber. But in the greenhouse, you get fresh fruit. You get life. You get something that's growing. The major difference between a greenhouse and a doghouse is the intentionality invested in cultivating that atmosphere. And similarly, there are certain key greenhouse ingredients, so to speak, that we can practice as God's people that will incubate, hydrate, and nurture the Holy Spirit kingdom fruit of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Each of these is worth a sermon, multiple sermons on their own. But let me just power through them. Ingredient number one, we need to make sure that we've got our words right. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do we consider the invisible presence of the Holy Spirit when we are having our household conversations? Do we recognize He's here and He hears all of this? And do we adjust accordingly what we are talking about in order to honor His unseen presence? Are our words, words of life, faith, and praise? Or do we instead murmur and complain and bellyache? Because make no mistake about it, our words have the ability to either honor or offend the Holy Spirit. And the result of that will absolutely affect the atmosphere of our homes, like little else can. And if you don't think that that's a big deal, I'm telling you, we ought to just have a look at the scriptures and see how that worked out for the children of Israel. In the time of Moses, it wasn't the wilderness that killed that generation, it was their words. Their murmurings were murderous to their potential and their destiny. 1 Corinthians 10, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. So do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. God cares about our words. He modeled in the beginning when the world was out of order, chaos, void, and He said, let there be light. And those words shaped the world. And similarly, we have prophetic potential to be able to speak life into situations. Murmuring, complaining, gossip, unbelief, they are actually anti-prayer. That's what they are. Not faith prayer, not true prayer, anti-prayer that bring about the displeasure of God, kill our credibility, and damage our destiny. Our words shape our world. And if we use them correctly, we can see health restored to a household. Is this okay this morning? Let's check our words. Let's check our worship. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel, Psalm 22, verse 3. If we want to get the presence of King Jesus enthroned and established in the atmosphere of our home, then we need to be a people who worship God. Not only on Sundays, but also during the week. What would happen to the spiritual environment of your home if instead of playing that emo, depressing, secular, sexualized music, we instead started playing praise and worship that enthrones the presence of King Jesus and invites the Holy Spirit to come and stay with us? Who knows, that would move the needle on the atmosphere of our home. What would happen if our home was a place where praying and singing together as a family became a normal part of our weekly rhythms? It would alter our world. Next, what do you watch? Do we consider the presence of Jesus in our television viewing? Do we imagine Him sitting in our living room with us and adjust our playlist accordingly? And again, I'm not talking about legalistic, rigid Jesus. Jesus has an amazing sense of humor. Jesus invites us into a great destiny adventure. There's plenty of movies that you can enjoy in His presence, and He will laugh along with us. He's got an incredible sense of humor. He wants to fellowship with us. He gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness. But at the same time, there are some movies and games that we play that have images and an atmosphere that is both offensive to God and harmful to us. Let's be real. Personally, I'm of the conviction that I don't want to invite somebody through my television set that I wouldn't invite through my front door. They're both a gateway to atmospheres. You better believe it. So we should guard our TV set with great wisdom and vigilant discernment. Let me ask us, if we want to do 2020 better than ever before, what would happen if we went through and audited our movie collection and we got rid of everything that inspired terror, glorified lust, highlighted witchcraft, the New Age and the occult, and was blatantly anti-Christian in its messaging? Who knows, that would change our world and it would make room for the presence of God. Sorry for my straight talk this morning. I know I sound a bit like Ricky Gervais talking to Hollywood. But I've found that demons cannot be both bed pals and beaten at the same time. To invite them in through unwise and worldly television viewing, lustful internet use, or fascination with the occult is to subject yourself, your family, and your prayer life to demonic spirits. The result being a much more difficult prayer time and hostile spiritual environment and atmosphere than what is necessary. Who needs that noise? Who knows, life's tough enough as it is without demons hanging out in your living room? We've got to get rid of spiritual saboteurs in 2020. The next is to watch the whisper. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, his still small voice, his whisper, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. Here's my encouragement to us. Will we listen to and obey what the Holy Spirit asks us to do in order to increase the spiritual vitality of the atmosphere of our household? There's times where, in order to increase our authority, our clarity of mind, our power in prayer life, to take our lives to a whole new level, a more vibrant place with Him, the Holy Spirit will ask us to clear some clutter, some spiritual clutter, maybe some stuff that was okay for the last season of sanctification, but your next season is going to require something higher, purer, and more holy in order for us to walk with Him. This has meant for Pastor Amber and I at times significant sacrifices over the years, collections of music and books and other things worth hundreds of dollars, that the Holy Spirit was bringing conviction to us and saying that that stuff is incompatible with your next level. And if you keep watching that, if you keep reading that stuff, if you keep feeding your soul with that stuff, it's going to hold you back and bind you up from all that I have for you. So we've sacrificially surrendered to his whisper, and we have never, ever regretted the culls that we've made. Will we permit the Holy Spirit to audit our internal heart and our external home? Because anything that he highlights as unnecessary baggage, when cleared, will only make room for more of his blessing and power and reward for our obedience. And let's be real, gang. What is any earthly possession worth in comparison to his wonderful presence? And finally, and this has been the underlying theme of our whole message in many ways, but warfare. We've got to watch our warfare. This is the part of the greenhouse where we are eradicating pests, we're rebuking demonic wildlife, we're reversing external attacks that are seeking to devour our fruit and throw off the ecosystem of God's blessing in our homes. This is something that happens not because we've done something wrong, but rather because we're doing something right. It's not evidence of sin, but rather it's evidence that we're progressing and now we have something worth stealing that the enemy wants to come in and derail. But here's the good news. The thief might come in to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus has come to bring us life and have it to the full. So what we must do as Christians is learn how to fight back and win. We've got to learn to overcome. We've got to rise up in faith and say, Jesus is the Lord of this house. And devil, you can't have my joy. You can't have my marriage. It's time for you to get out. And when we pray those kinds of bold, powerful prayers, we have the authority to evict every demonic intruder, which will bring victory to our household. As we're fighting for and making room for the beauty of the Lord's presence and blessing and grace over our households, it will result in His blessing falling upon everyone within that home in a powerful way. And those memories that we were talking about earlier from those previous addresses, it means that our children growing up in our current addresses might be able to have this kind of experience where the Ark of the Lord, which was a symbol of the presence of God, remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Wouldn't it be great if every single one of our children, if the place that we lived in 2020, when we look back upon this street address, instead of there being conflict in our heart and memories that we regret and a whole bunch of feelings about all of the things that went wrong and how we were robbed, instead, we're able to look back with immense gratitude and see the sweetness of God's presence in our household in 2020 and the fact that He blessed us and our entire home. I want to encourage us this morning that God cares deeply about our home life. He has good things in mind for our household environment. This year, He wants to give us the authority over the atmosphere of our house. Is Jesus the Lord of your house? Have we submitted to His authority and lordship? This year, our household can be prayerful. It can be a place that's filled with play. It can be blessed with the presence of God as we start at home. Let's start with right words, with worship, with warfare. Let's be careful with what we watch. And let's be quick to obey the Holy Spirit's whisper towards us. And I'm convinced that as we do that, we're going to see God's all things new 2020 vision in our households this year. Amen. Let's pray.
Thanks for joining us. For more information about who we are, you can connect with us on Facebook. Or if you're in the area and interested in joining us for one of our worship services, we would love to welcome you. 10 a.m. Sundays at Cronulla Central.